Okay, let's prepare ourselves this morning in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the opportunity to name privately to God any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time You've given us to assemble ourselves together so that we can be nourished by Your spiritual manna from heaven. We're so thankful that You have revealed not only the pertinent things that we need in order to get by day, but the deep and abiding things that inspire us and fill our soul with wonder and awe of who and what You are. So we thank You for this time that we have to fellowship in Your Word and pray that You will help us to concentrate. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to continue on our way with the fundamentals. And you will remember last time that we were addressing questions as to why people doubt their salvation. We've already given you tons of verses that have to do with eternal security. Until you get to the point to where you are secure in the fact that you are going to heaven based on your faith alone in Christ alone, then you never leave spiritual kindergarten. You never will have that peace that passes all understanding. And you'll be struggling from day to day in your mind, wondering, am I really saved? Am I really going to heaven? What is going to happen to me after I die? That question has to be settled first. Some people doubt their salvation because they don't feel saved. Some question their faith. They wonder if they had enough faith or whether they had the right kind of faith. And you'll remember, when it comes to eternal salvation, the issue is always the object of your faith, which is Jesus Christ. There is no measurement as to how much faith you must have. You either have it or you don't. And so people question their faith because sometimes they hear false doctrines. They hear people who would challenge them with regards to faith alone in Christ alone. They say, well, that's just too easy. It's too simplistic. However, we go by what the Bible says. Third, they do not understand grace. Probably one of the most, if not the most, popular Christian song of all time is Amazing Grace. And people sing Amazing Grace, and they know nothing about it. They think they have to earn or deserve something from God, which is absolutely ludicrous. We can't earn or deserve anything from God. Everything we get from Him is on the basis of who and what He is, not who and what we are. The fourth thing, they've done something to lose it. If you can't do anything for it, you can't do anything in order to lose it. Whatever sin you can possibly commit cannot cancel the work of Christ on the cross. So you don't have to drag out skeletons out of your closet and worry about them. How would you like to have a skeletonless closet? That word closet is a dangerous word these days, isn't it? The fifth one is they trust in their tradition rather than doctrine. If it was good enough for mom and dad, if it was good enough for gramps and grandma, then it's good enough for me. I'd be going against the grain. I would be disloyal to my family if I don't accept what they have accepted. Or there are some churches that put church tradition on the same par with doctrine. And, of course, that is a grievous error. And the sixth one is where we're going to camp out for a while. We already have a little bit. Is they don't know the difference between positional and experiential sanctification. Now, this is so important that if you don't understand the difference between these, if you don't know what they are and how they differ, then you'll never have eternal security. It's that simple. And people are going to trot out verses. They're going to trot out ideas. That it's going to cause you to question your own eternal security. So, positional sanctification, and you'll notice I have a slash and then justification. Because most of the time justification is used, it's used as a synonym to positional sanctification. It means that you were justified by God the moment that you believed in Jesus Christ. It's a permanent thing. It's irrevocable. There are a few times it's used otherwise, but for the most part, it is a synonym of positional sanctification. So whether it's positional sanctification or justification, we're talking about the same thing. That is based on faith alone and is a work of God. No works by you, and it's accomplished in total the moment that you believe in Jesus Christ, then you are justified and you have been positionally sanctified. Your position before God is what we've learned that's so important. Two words is in Christ. You cannot lose that position in Christ, no matter what you do. Now, experiential sanctification is a work of man and God. Now, what do I mean by a work of man and God? In other words, we're left on this planet for a purpose. And if we are going to be experientially sanctified, it just means in your experience during time. While you're on this earth, there's going to be a lot of experiences, and God wants you to be experientially sanctified. Now, remember what sanctified means? I think I put those Greek words up on the board. It means to be set apart for blessing. So we are set apart for blessing for all time when we believe in Jesus Christ. That's a done deal. But God wants us to be set apart for blessing during our experience on earth, this time that we have, and that's called experiential sanctification, and it is a work of man and God. In other words, it involves work, but we can't even in and of ourselves do any work that's going to be approved by God, are accepted by God. The only type of work that we can do that He accepts is the work that He empowers us to do through the filling of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I mean to be experientially sanctified. It takes work on our part, but the work is divine good. It is work that is accomplished under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it is achieved by faith plus works. And where people get mixed up is they take this last part, faith plus works, and they try to apply it to justification or positional sanctification. And it doesn't work that way. It's easy for people to get mixed up. So while we're on this earth, we are working through the filling of the Holy Spirit, through growing to doctrinal and spiritual maturity. And when we do that, we're going to be experientially sanctified. God is going to take us and set us apart, and we're going to have greater grace. We're going to have greater blessings. We're going to have greater impact in the angelic conflict. So that's what experiential sanctification is a work of man and God, God being the God of the Holy Spirit, and is achieved by faith plus works. Those who are experientially sanctified are victorious and persevering. That persevering is really important. The persevering here has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. You understand that? You don't have to do anything to persevere with regards to that because you're justified. You can't improve on it. It's a done deal. But with regards to this experientially sanctified deal, we have to persevere. And those who reach that point to where God is going to set them apart from the rest of believers, and He's going to give them super grace blessings, and He is going to give them great rewards and decorations in eternity, as well as special things that are going to happen to them on earth. So they are persevering, those who continue to take in the Word. I see a lot of familiar faces here. And that's good. You know what that tells me? It tells me that you are persevering. You're persevering in taking in the Word. And that's what you have. That's where it starts. You don't persevere in good works if you're ignorant. Because if you're ignorant, all you're producing is human good, which isn't even acceptable to God. So you're persevering in what it takes to get to that point of experiential sanctification. You're persevering in taking in the Word. You're learning how to execute the Christian way of life in the age in which we live, which is the church age. That's what I mean by victorious in persevering. That's what it takes in order to be experientially sanctified. Those who are not either already experientially sanctified or on their way to be experientially sanctified, vacillate. You know what vacillation is, don't you? One day you're thinking this way, and the next day you're over here, and the next day maybe you're in the middle, and then someone else comes along with an idea that sounds pretty good, and you grab a hold of that idea. Oh, but someone over here has a better idea, and you just go all like this. And you're confused. That's why the Word of God never changes, and it is absolute. It is our rock. We can have a foundation over us where we don't have to vacillate. We're the same all the time. And why? Because God is the same all the time. His Word never changes. So those who are not experientially sanctified vacillate and become distracted from their purpose. Listen to that. Distracted from their purpose. What is the purpose? That's what people don't get. After salvation, what? You know what most people do? Oh, well, we're supposed to be good Christians, and so what we need to do is go back to the Mosaic Law and obey the Ten Commandments and try to please God through our morality. Listen, there are unbelievers out there that can out-moral any of us. The JWs, for example. And I can understand why. If I thought that my eternal destiny depended upon my morality, then I would shudder to think that if I slipped up, I was going to go to hell. Of course, see, their purpose is to be as moral and keep maintaining whatever salvation as they see they have. And if they don't, they've lost it. No security there, is there? 1 John 5:13 says that we can know that we have eternal life. These people who are trying to maintain their salvation can never know that they have eternal life until they're dead. Then I'd say it's a little too late. What if they slipped up somewhere along the way? Aren't you glad about grace? That Christ took care of those issues? So that purpose, they become distracted from their purpose. Our purpose, now if I ask you this morning, what is your purpose in life? You're already saved. You're not going to get any more saved than you already are. You can't improve on that. That's not going to change. So why did God leave you on planet Earth? Why? Well, most people who know a little doctrine would probably say, and in the general sense this is true, to glorify God. He left us here so that we can glorify Him. But how can we glorify God? Can you glorify God and remain a dumb butt believer? I'm sorry, but that communicates. Huh? Can you do that? No. Well, you'd be living just like the unbelievers, either legalistic or antinomian. So it takes some knowledge. It takes some knowledge to understand your purpose. The way that we glorify God is to get to the point where we are experientially sanctified. What does that mean? He's going to take us in this time frame, and He's going to take us out of the mass, the masses of believers, and He's going to set us apart for a special blessing. Isn't that where you'd like to be? And you know what happens when we're over here where we get special blessing? It glorifies God. The more that He can bless you in time, in the devil's world, brings glory to Him. And here's the good part. Satan can't do a thing about it. Because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, I don't know about you, I'm already warm. Are y'all warm? Charlie? I think it's AC time. But that doesn't mean after Christ either. Okay, so that's a very important point right there. If you're not experientially sanctified, you're going to vacillate and become distracted from your purpose. and indifferent to God and His Word. You see, when you become distracted, when you're vacillating, you don't have any solid foundation under you, it's not maybe this will happen, it will happen. And that is that you're going to become, you know what indifferent means? I can take it or lose it. What's all this hubbub about the Word anyway? I'm going to heaven, what else does it matter? Well, it matters as to what your quality of life in time is going to be, and what your quality of life for all eternity is going to be. Is that important to you? Is it important for you to be experientially sanctified? Is it important to you to glorify God? Let's be honest. If you're going to become distracted and you're going to be vacillating and indifferent to God and His Word, then you have failed in the purpose as to why you are here. Isn't that correct? Listen, people don't know their purpose. Everything that God has done has a purpose. I'm going to say something that I'm not trying to be crude, but it does illustrate. Everybody out there has hair in your nose. I'm so glad that He covered that, you know, with skin or whatever. But we all have that. Why? That seems a strange thing, doesn't it? Well, it filters the air. I just changed my filter on my Rhine lawnmower after 3 years. I didn't even know it had one, didn't know where it was. I was preparing my lawnmower for I'd be use it pretty soon, and what is this thing? And I opened up. Oh, that's an air filter. That's where that thing is. And I took it out and shook it, and it looked like a dust storm. If God is going to take care of filtering the air in your nose, that has a purpose. Don't you think the fact that He didn't take you home the moment that you believed in Christ means He has a purpose for you now? And that's one of the most basic things. You can boil it down and ask people, why are you here? Or what's your purpose on earth? So that'd be a good question to just have a microphone and go out in the street and say, what is your purpose? I bet you could get 1,000 answers before you'd ever get one that says, my purpose is to glorify God, and I'm going to do that by being experientially sanctified, set apart for blessing. So there. Even if you told somebody that, they wouldn't know what it means. We're an odd bunch, aren't we? And we're supposed to be an odd bunch. We're supposed to be separate from the rest. And you know where it really matters is what you think. You should not be thinking like everyone else. And if you do, there's a problem. It's a sure sign that you have not been experientially sanctified, nor are you on your way to be experientially sanctified. So if you get distracted, and that's so easily, you know, in this day and age, if you have a computer and you can get on the internet, you're distracted. If you get email, you're distracted. Now, we're all distracted to a degree, but see, we have to put limits on that. We have to recognize that if we get so distracted in the things of the internet, or with our kids and their soccer and their my grandson takes tumbling. He's not even 4 yet. He takes tumbling. I'd like to see what they do. When did you have to teach a kid how to tumble anyway? I thought they just did that. Anyway, it just means there's so many things out there you can get distracted in a heartbeat. And you don't mean to. How many extracurricular activities do they have in schools today? Tons of them. And the parents, a lot of the mothers are nothing but glorified taxi cab drivers. They're here, they're there, they pick up over here, moving all this. So you can get distracted. There's nothing wrong with all these things as long as you keep your priorities straight. And when it comes to taking in the Word, nothing gets in the way of that. Now, sometimes there's people trying to make a living and they can't be at Bible class at church at certain times. But those people get it some way. They get it by tape, CD, internet, whatever it is. So that's the case. All believers need to be saved/delivered. You can use either word you want. From the world, the flesh, and from the debilitating influence of demons. Now, see, this is what I want you to understand that people don't get. But I can even put it this way. Believers need salvation. Now, you'll understand that if you understand that I'm not talking about heaven. This is not salvific. We live in the devil's world. And we have, first of all, the world. If you have an idiot box, that TV, you have the world coming right into your bedroom or living room or den or wherever it is, more hours than you'd like to admit, probably. If you read a newspaper, if you listen to the radio, whatever, the world is constantly bombarding our mind, trying to get it to agree with the anti-God concepts that are constantly being battered against your brain. The flesh. We all are flesh. And we all have a what? OSN, an old sin nature. And I'm talking about believers. When you become a believer, here's a good question. I'm going to ask Ty this after a little later, because I'm going to get with Ty. I think I'm going to ask him this question. You better get it right. Two parts. First, when a person believes in Jesus Christ, does he lose his old sin nature? No, he does not. Then what's the big deal? What happens? What happens is the absolute control of your old sin nature over you is broken. It's no longer your master. Now you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, at least that potential, until you sin. And when you have that, it means that you are not a slave to your old sin nature. That's good news, isn't it? But it doesn't mean it's gone. It means that you still have to do battle in your soul with your old sin nature. This past week, did you have any battles going on up here between the old sin nature and the filling of the Holy Spirit, or at least with regards to the doctrine in your soul? Were there any battles going on? Now, I don't, you know, everybody's got their own answer to that. But if there wasn't, let me tell you, you are a casualty. Your old sin nature won because your old sin nature doesn't give up. Your old sin nature didn't take a vacation. So we have to do battle in that area. So all believers need to be delivered from the world, the flesh, and the debilitating influence of demons. You've heard of world, flesh, and the devil. The reason I didn't say the devil is because I don't think there's anybody in this audience, including myself, that is a big enough fish to fry for Satan himself. He's got bigger fish to fry. He's got world leaders and all those type of people. But he has an organized demonic army that has someone that is going to follow you around and try to throw obstacles in your way so that you will be spiritually stumbling. So you see what I'm saying? Every believer has to be delivered from the world, the flesh, and the debilitating influence of demons. And that's what did I start out by saying? I said, believers need to be saved. They're already saved eternally, but they have to be saved or delivered from these three things. And if you are not on your way to be experientially sanctified, if you're not a growing believer consistently taking in the Word, you can be guaranteed that one of these three, or two of them, or all three of them, are going to eat your lunch. So that's what I'm talking about. Well, I want to go somewhere else before I go to that next one. All right, we're going somewhere now that I think is going to be helpful, hopefully, to you. This is God's plan of grace for your life. Your life, whether you recognize it or not, really goes through three phases as a believer. We're not counting the time before you believed in Jesus Christ. You were an unbeliever. You weren't even in the game. But once you believe in Jesus Christ, you are on the team anyway. Let's put it that way. Whether you're playing on the field or not is another issue. But first of all, let's look at this. Phase one is salvation. I hope that I'm talking to nothing but believers here. Believers in Jesus Christ. This is what we've been talking about. Once you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He went to the cross and paid for your sins and rose again to offer eternal life to you strictly by faith in Him, then you have eternal life. The Bible says it. So once you have that, you're at that stage, you are positionally sanctified. Here it is right here. Positionally sanctified. What's the other word there that you could use? Justified. That happened the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. Christ did the work on the cross. You didn't do the work. Christ did. But you're the beneficiary of that work. And you're positionally sanctified according to Hebrews chapter 1. Believers in Christ are positionally higher than angels. Now just think about that one for a moment. Oh, I'm going to ask this, but I might regret it. But I think I'm going to. How many of you have seen an angel? Good. I'm not talking about your wife. I just knew somebody was going to raise their hand and try to get some brownie points here. Angels are not visible to us in the church age. But every instance in the Bible, they are magnificent creatures. You see battle-hardened soldiers at the tomb of Jesus Christ, and when they saw the angel that rolled the stone out of the way, which probably took no telling how many men, he probably just took his hand and moved it out of the way. These battle-hardened Roman soldiers fell to the ground and shook with fear. That's the countenance of an angel, how magnificent they are. But we are already positionally higher than angels. Now, if I was going to give you a test, I would ask this question. Why are we positionally higher than angels? Because we are, two words, in Christ. Is Christ, experientially, is He in His resurrection body higher than angels? That's what Hebrews 1 is all about. So, since He is higher than angels, and we are in Him, we are already at this point positionally higher than angels, but there's going to be a time when we are going to be experientially higher than angels, and that's saying a lot. Y'all got that? That's phase one. Phase two is time. That's what we're in right now. We don't know how much time we have left, but some of us have had more time than others, but we all have a certain amount of time left. And during that time, our purpose here is to be experientially sanctified. Romans 6, Ephesians 5, 26. And this is accomplished through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What did I say it takes to be experientially sanctified? Your work and God's work. God the Holy Spirit. You are experientially sanctified by God the Holy Spirit. You're in the process right now. By concentrating on the spiritual phenomenon that I'm giving you, the Holy Spirit is making that clear and perspicuous to you, which means you are on your way if you're not already there with regards to being experientially set apart for special blessing. If every one of us was honest and everybody was actually concentrating and tuned in to what I said, and I said, how many of you would like to be set apart in whatever time we have left for special blessings from God? Every hand would shoot up, wouldn't it? But everybody would like that. People don't know how this is accomplished. Here it is right here. Ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you sin and you confess that sin, you're automatically, again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit can accomplish the divine good that it takes in order to be experientially sanctified. We're building an ECS. That's not an emergency control site. I guess it is, kind of. Edification complex of the souls. When I say that, right now, some of you have a house that went into your mind. And the floors in the house. Isn't that right? That's because you're well on your way to be experientially sanctified. You have doctrine already there. So that's phase two. And however long that lasts, it's going to end. And here's the final purpose here in phase three is eternity. And this is ultimate sanctification. This is where God is really going to show off to us. It's the completion of the Father's plan. See, positionally sanctified, every believer is positionally sanctified. Is every believer experientially sanctified? No. Why not? Because you have a lot of them that have been distracted and they're vacillating and they let the world, the flesh, and demons get in the way of them being experientially sanctified. Some are and some aren't, depending on what? Whether you grow up or not. How much? And then phase three, in eternity, ultimate sanctification, is this for all believers? I see. That's good. I'm glad that I see some people yes and some people no. Ultimate sanctification means that God is going to be sanctifying believers, but the question is He going to sanctify ultimately all believers? And but if you said yes, you're right, and if you said no, you're right. So how about that deal? Huh? And I'm not just being, what do they call the, no, not facetious, politician is it. I don't like to say that word in the church. What is that word? It'll come to me later. It starts with an E. Okay, it'll come to me. All believers are ultimately sanctified in the sense that all believers have a resurrection body. So that's a good deal for all of you, no matter where you are in your spiritual growth. So all believers are ultimately sanctified, Philippians 3:21, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. However, this is where the other part comes to play. All resurrection bodies are not going to be the same. Some resurrection bodies are going to have access to the VIP rooms in heaven. Some are going to have great rewards and decorations and crowns and privileges that are going to last for all eternity. So we are going to be able to glorify God for all eternity, because what did I? How do you glorify God in time? How do you do that? By being experientially sanctified. When you grow up spiritually to a point to where you have enough doctrine, you're not distracted, and the world, the flesh, and the devil hasn't put you into slavery, then God is going to set you apart and give you more and more and more. But the even better news is He's going to do the same thing for that. The same thing as that in eternity. And those blessings are going to last for all eternity. And we can't even get our mind around the special blessings that He has for those who, what, love Him. You can't love Him if you don't know Him. So, physical body is superior to angels in resurrection bodies. Here's another question for you. Can you know for sure that your resurrection body is going to be superior to angels? Yeah. Why? Because the Bible says that our resurrection bodies are going to be similar to Christ's resurrection bodies. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's superior to all. So our resurrection bodies are going to be superior to angels. So all people, even the believers that don't reach this point, are going to have a resurrection body superior to angels. And if that's all you want, you can check out of the rest of what I'm saying. Some of you may already have. Your body is here, but your mind is in Jamaica somewhere. You know, whatever floats your boat. But if you stay tuned in, you have the opportunity to get special blessings for how long? All eternity. And you can't lose them. It's guaranteed. And God is glorified all the more for blessing you in eternity. Isn't that a great deal? See, you know what this focuses on? Our purpose in this life. This Christianity deal and this church deal isn't something that is a part-time, you've got to fit it in your daytimer, your schedule. It has to be your life. And once you start thinking God's thoughts and you start thinking like God thinks based on His Word, everything changes. When you have a disaster hit, when you have suffering in your life, let's say, undeserved something. Something happens to you. The bottom fell out and you didn't deserve it. What do most people do? Human viewpoint is why? But as a believer that has doctrine that's grown up, we can say, okay, I'm on my way to being experientially sanctified, and that means that I'm going to think doctrine during this, and God's not going to allow anything to be harder than what I can handle with His help. He's going to take me through it. I have that guarantee. He is testing me so He can show me off to others. To the angels, the elect angels are watching to see what's going on. Oh, yeah, I see. Isn't that great? It's not that we're great. It's what God can do through us, and He's glorified for all this. Y'all getting this? Isn't that wonderful? That's what our life is about. And it's what you think about what's happening in your life that matters, not what's happening. I'm going to say that again. It's not what's happening in your life that matters. It's what you think about what's happening in your life that matters. In other words, if you're applying doctrine to your circumstances, you have a guarantee of God's Word that's not going to be unbearable. You will be able to bear it. And the purpose is to test your mettle so that God can set you apart over here and be glorified by you, because He's going to give you more and more and more. You're not going to be distracted. You're going to have the capacity to truly appreciate God and His extra blessings. Have you ever thought of that? Why doesn't God take a dumb-butt believer here and give him all these special categories of blessings? He can be distracted by that. It'd be like going to a 10-year-old saying, here's some Cuban cigars, here's some of the finest scotch, and here's the keys to the Corvette out there. Knock your lights out. Well, he probably wouldn't knock the lights out of the car. You see what I'm saying? That would be irresponsible, wouldn't it? Okay, we're going back to something. Now we're going to get into this. I really like this stuff. It'll take me a minute to bring it back up here, though. Everything that I've told you so far was really introductory to where we're going now. Now we're getting to the nuts and bolts of it. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Okay, here we go. Some think the word saved or salvation, it's saved as sozo, S-O-Z-O in the Greek, or salvation, which is soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A, always refers to heaven, or like going to heaven. And sometimes you'll hear me say the word salvific. When I'm saying salvific, I mean it pertains to eternal salvation and going to heaven. And some people think every time they see these words, that's what it means. But those words are also translated into the English, made well, healed, recover, deliverance, and strength. So it doesn't always, it's not always salvific. And here's we get into an example or two. Oh, I didn't bring that up on the big deal, did I? Is that better? Okay. The word saved, sozo, is only used salvifically 40% of the time. Do you understand what that means? Over half of the time, 60% of the time, when you see the word saved in the New Testament, it is not salvific. It's not talking about going to heaven. And salvation, which is soteria, is only used salvifically 35% of the time. And yet most people, every time they see the word saved, they think it's talking about going to heaven. It's just like every time they see the word baptism, they think it's talking about a water baptism, which most of the time it is not. Sozo and soteria. So most of the time they refer to some kind of deliverance or healing. Here's a verse. Now we're going to start getting into some verses. Because see, once you understand you have eternal life, you cannot lose it. And you understand the difference between positional sanctification and experiential sanctification. You start getting these things down. Someone is going to trot out a verse and it's going to shake you. And here's one of them. There's several of them. We're going to go through them. But you need to be able to handle these in order to help other people with their doubts and with your own doubts. Here's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Now, this comes right after the verse that so many of the feminists hate, where Paul says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over men. And this is referring in the church. And then right after that, he's explaining how it was Adam who was the one deceiving going forward. But what we're zeroing on here is, but women will be saved through childbearing. Does this mean that you women have to bear a child in order to be saved and go to heaven? You know what that word there is? Sozo. This is one of the times. And I think most people would realize that this is the word saved, and it's not talking about going to heaven. What if a woman is barren? What if she never gets married? Does that mean she'd have to go to hell? This is I'm starting out with an easy one. If y'all don't get this one, we're in trouble. So you understand, this is not salvific. 1 Timothy 4:16. By the way, I want y'all to turn to these in your Bibles. You haven't even opened your Bibles yet. It's not your fault, it's my fault. But I want you to make notes in your Bibles. Because I can assure you, you're not going to remember the details of what I'm giving you on these, but there may come a time when you wish you at least had notations in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Now, Timothy, 1 Timothy is one of the three books, or three of the epistles, that are pastoral epistles. That means they were letters to pastors. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are the pastoral epistles. Letters that were written to pastors. So this is Paul writing to Timothy, giving him instructions. And so he's saying, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. A very good advice. Persevere in these things, for as long as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. You notice I have ensure salvation underlined. That should be a big red flag to you right off the bat. Because this verse is saying that we have to do something in order to ensure our salvation. Now, if you took this as being salvific, it would undermine the whole principle of God's grace and faith alone in Christ alone, wouldn't it? Never in the Bible does it say that we have to go along or go about doing something to ensure our standing before God, whether we're really going to heaven or not. And yet a lot of people take this verse that way. It is not salvific. It's not talking about eternal salvation. He's just simply saying, if you persevere in teaching and pay attention to yourself, as long as you do this, you're going to ensure, if you just said the word deliverance, by the way, that word is soteria, one of those times, one of the many times that it's not salvific, you would ensure deliverance both from yourself and for those who hear you. Deliverance from what? The world, the flesh, and the influence of demons upon you. That's what you're going to be delivered from. So if Timothy didn't pay attention to himself, he let himself go. Not long ago, I think a week or two ago, I saw a video. It was still on the big video things. I plugged in. It was called Mr. Mom. Y'all remember Mr. Mom? Do you remember how he let himself go? He started watching the soaps and grew a beard and went around in a house coat all day and all. Well, that's what Timothy could let himself go spiritually. And not teach accurate doctrine, or not even teach faithfully. If he did that, there was a danger that not only he, but those he would teach would not be delivered. Would not be delivered from what I just told you. The world, the flesh, and demon influence. So y'all have that in there? I want you to underline that salvation, and just put it there. Not salvific or not positional sanctification. I know these are big words. Somehow, I want you to note it, wherever floats your boat, that this is not talking about going to heaven. There's more of these. And these are the easy ones I'm giving you first. I don't think we have to go back to, what was that, 1 Timothy 2:14 and 15. I think anybody can figure out that's not salvific. But this one is used as being salvific. While we're in 1 Timothy, let's go to another pastoral epistle, 2 Timothy 2:10. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure all things. This again is Paul speaking to Timothy, teaching him. I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain, that's what I want you to underline, the salvation which is, and I have provided in brackets here, provided for those in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now let's go back first of all to that may also obtain. You'll notice off to the side here, I have a little in brackets. The V here stands for verb. It's the aorist active subjunctive. Now that tells us a whole lot about this word. First of all, it's in the aorist tense, which means it's not really pinning it down. It's the author just wants to let you know that this happened in the past or in the future. It's nondescript. This A here stands for the active voice. You know, that's very important because that's talking about whoever the elect is, it's they that are producing the action. And the last little letter here, S, is really the clincher. That's the subjunctive mood. That means maybe it will happen and maybe it won't. Okay? Now let's look at that. Therefore, endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain. That means maybe they, the elect, which I'm going to show you is the believers. It's always the believer. Elect is a technical term for believers only. There are no elect unbelievers ever mentioned in the Bible. So, we know that this is believers, that they may also obtain the salvation. They're producing whatever it takes to obtain it, and it's only in the subjunctive mood, which means it's maybe they will and maybe they won't. Now, what does that tell you for sure? It can't be salvific. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved, that we are saved can never be in the subjunctive mood. In other words, I didn't really phrase that so well. When we believe in Jesus Christ, it means we actually, literally have eternal life. So that's the indicative mood. It would mean the mood of reality. It's a real done deal. But this is saying it's only a potential. So it can't be referring to eternal salvation. Something that they may obtain. The elect, right here I said the elect. The elect already have what? Eternal life. God's own righteousness. They are already in Christ. It's a permanent deal. Every time you see the elect, it's referring to who? Believers. And it means what? They have eternal life, and they have God's own righteousness. Their ticket to heaven is guaranteed. Right? Okay, so it can't be talking about eternal life, eternal salvation there, that they may also obtain it. So what is it that they may obtain, that they have to active voice work, and it's only a potential? What is that talking about? Talking about experiential sanctification. That they may be saved from the world, the flesh, and the demons, if they are experientially sanctified, if they keep on. What if a person has been growing spiritually for 10 years, and they've got quite a bit of doctrine, and then they get distracted? Sometimes, if it's a guy, it's some sweet thing, and it's dress that looks like an hourglass figure and all this, and boom, all that he's had going for him is out the window. She's either a pagan or a cultist or something like that, and he sacrifices all that he's had so far in order to be with her. That's why it's only subjunctive. Because he's not going to be experientially sanctified because we can be distracted at any time. That's why it's so important that we stay plugged in. We keep getting the Word. We keep getting that spiritual nourishment to stay strong so we can become experientially sanctified. So, therefore, Paul speaking, I endure all things for the elect's sakes. In other words, he's saying, you know what? A pastor has to put up with a lot of problems of people. I had to clean that up. An apostle was even worse because he had several churches under him. He had to put up with a lot of stuff. And he endured all things for the elect. He did it for the believers. See? So, and sometimes Paul wanted to just... Remember when Moses got mad at the people and he struck the rock? That's what Paul is saying. He said, I'm ready to strike the rock sometimes. But I have to back off for their sake. That they may also obtain something. What is it that these believers need to obtain? They need to attain that point where God can set them apart for special blessing. Why? Because that's the purpose that we're left on this planet. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We're talking about really important things this morning. We're talking about things that are life-changing. Your whole focus of your life. Because most people out there don't know what their purpose is. They also obtain the salvation which is provided for those in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See, this eternal glory goes with this. What is this? Experiential sanctification. What is this? Ultimate sanctification. Y'all getting that? This isn't easy stuff. But once you get it, it makes all the difference. Now, it's just like when Christ was telling Mary, do you believe in the resurrection? And she said, yes, I know everyone's going to be resurrected. She was kind of being smarty. He said, no. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Then here's the question. Do you believe this? And that's what I'm asking you today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that this is your purpose to be experientially sanctified, to grow up where God can say, wow, look, poof, I'm going to put him over here and give him super grace blessings. I'm going to give him things in time that he can't hold. I'm going to overflow his cup with blessings. I'm going to bless those who are around him and his family and everything because of him. That's what I'm going to do in time. But in eternity, I'm going to give him rewards and privileges, honors and decorations and crowns that he can't even get his head around right now. Is that worth it? Is that worth staying the course? Continue to take it in the Word? I think so. I'm out of time. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are awed by who and what you are and how much you love us and this wonderful plan whereby you can bless us beyond our wildest dreams and at the same time bring glory to yourself because it's all about your grace. It's so easy for us to be distracted. It's so easy for us to be afraid of the things that lie ahead. And yet we have your promises and we have your Word. Help us to understand our purpose and not be distracted. Help us to bring glory to you because of what you do through us. Help us to get this picture loud and clear. And help us to keep it all the way to the end. We thank you for these great and mighty things. And we pray it all in Christ's most high and holy name. Amen.